Once again, it's great to be in front of a fellow artist, my fellow artist brother. Who are you?
My name is Ivan Estevez.
What medium of art do you express in?
Currently, I express mostly in tattoos, but my first love was digital painting, and then I moved on to oil painting and traditional media. So, still do all three of them.
Okay, so we've got something of a Renaissance man here. Excellent. When did you decide that those art forms were the platforms that would help you to best express yourself?
When I was 13 years old, you know, I read a book called How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way, and I just tried, you know, I wanted to be an artist since that day, so that's when I decided.
Who or what set you on this path? What was your inspiration?
My inspiration was my cousin. His name is Christian, and when I was 10 years old, I saw him draw a picture of a girl, and the girl was like leaning back, coming out of water. And from that moment on, I tried to copy what he did. And then that led me to the library where I found that book that inspired me.
What is your educational background around your art? Did you self-study? Did you have professional training or school?
When I found that book, I was 13 years old. And I was so into the art that I started just finding as many books as possible, trying to teach myself because, you know, nobody else would teach me. So for the next few years, you know, between books, videos, and the internet, I learned how to draw.
What personal value do you get out of working in those art forms? You have three. Do you get different personal values out of working from each three, or is it the same personal value across all three?
So it's about the same. It's just, you know, kind of like making something out of nothing. That's what gives me satisfaction.
When you say nothing, what space do you have to be in to really reach down to grab the ideas out to actually create?
Well, you should ask that because a lot of the times I feel like I have no ideas. And I feel like I was born without creativity. So I have the skill, but I lack the ideas. And then the moment that I feel that way is when the ideas come to me. So it's like I just pull them out of thinking I don't have it.
What value do others receive from your art? Do you teach? Do you have a business? Is it strictly personal?
It's mostly personal, but I think I'm a natural teacher. So most of the time, even if people don't ask me to, I just end up giving lectures and stuff like that. So, and some people do ask me to teach them, and you know, I'm more than happy to. Somebody came up to me and told me, so I feel like I just have to pass that on.
What is something about your art form that you know, but perhaps people don't know, but should know?
Most of the time when I do draw, it's just kind of talking about myself. But it might not appear that way. It could be like something completely random. But, you know, deep in that drawing is about me. I'm trying to tell people something, but without really telling them. For example, one of my favorite drawings that I did is a guy. And his head is made of glass. There's like a yellow liquid inside. And that's when I'm feeling like I'm not creative, I feel like I'm being drained. So, you know, people think it's just some cool mechanical drawing and stuff like that. Well, that's me telling people, like, this is how I feel most of the time. You know, I feel like I have no energy left and I'm running out of ideas. But there's always something in there.
What boundaries, either physical or mental, do you cross to access your best art space or your zone?
I don't do it anymore, but before when I felt like I didn't have anything to, you know, I couldn't come up with anything, I would start arguments with people. Because I felt like at that point, being in, like being upset actually gave me the energy to just grow more. I guess instead of being physically violent, I was violent, you know, by expressing, you know, the pain and tattoos or whatever.
Did it work?
Most of the time, but not always. I stopped doing it since then. I don't want to be mad every time I have pain, so.
What are some lines that you will not cross with your art? Either time, energy-wise, people-wise, lifestyle.
I don't know if I have any boundaries, just like the standard ones, you know, nothing that would offend anybody, you know, something that's hateful, racist, or whatever. But I don't know, I guess pretty much anything goes after that.
What role does the current state of our world, either political, social, or environmental, play in influencing your art or influencing you as an artist?
Not much. Whatever's going on in the world is what has always been, and that's the duality of everything. So what inspires me is just black and white, the good and the evil, how things are different, but then again the same. And I think that's, it's always been like that. for every artist. So I try not to think about the now, but try to think about what will always be, what always has been. You know how they say that there's no new ideas under the sun? It's just, you know, kind of like taking what's already been done and just, you know, applying it to what's now.
Have there been any significant changes in your field of art expression that, in your point of view, have either helped or hindered your art form?
Well, there's been a big change in tattooing. You know, that change was, you know, technology. And not only technology, but also the mindset of people and the acceptance of the public has allowed artists, you know, from other mediums like, you know, painting and drawing to come into the tattoo with that knowledge and apply it to tattooing and show people that even tattoos can be real art.
What are some tools, either technology or material, that help you best express your art?
So far, like, the best tool that I have available to me is the computer. When I learned to paint, I told myself how to do painting digitally. So I paint on the computer most of the time. But recently, I acquired an apprenticeship. And even though I knew how to do oil painting before, he's teaching me how to do real oil painting, whatever he calls it. So I've been using that a little, almost as much as computers. Sometimes I forget about the computer and just stick to the other.
When you say digital, are you talking about a particular program that you...
Mostly Photoshop. I went to school once for digital design, and they told me how to use Photoshop. And from there on, I just told myself, you know, like, how to use it for, like, digital painting. And then I try to find out the information about that. Photoshop, and then some other, I think, Clip Studio Paint is the new one that has come out. It used to be Mega Pro. But those two, and now with the iPad, you know, you got Procreate, which is, you know, perfect.
What are some personal habits that you employ to successfully support your artistic expression?
Making sure that I draw everything, you know, I gotta keep up. You gotta keep up the skill. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. Just like anything, I think.
What event in your life, either personal or artistic, has caused you to question what you're doing?
I think that I have a lot of falling out with tattooing, especially. You start comparing yourself to other people are doing, and then you feel like you're never gonna get to that level. I let it get to me a few times, so there's been like at least 2-3 times that I quit tattooing, quote unquote. But you know, I can never really be away from it because I try to get like a real job, but quote unquote real job, but it has to be artistic or else I can't do anything. So I think when my son was born, you know, it was like a wake up call. Like, I gotta make this work. You know, I gotta stop playing around and just, you know, get serious with this.
Congratulations to being the father.
No, thank you.
When was the last time that you quit?
About a year ago, before I came to the show. It was at a point I was going to go interview with UPS to get a real job.
Sorry, UPS, Ivan didn't choose you. He chose his art.
Yep, the same day. I had the interview the same day, and I got called out to come. No brainer.
Rock on, brother. What project, past completed, are you most proud of? Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm most proud of a project that I did when I started my apprenticeship. And it was a master copy of Charity by Guido Reni. And it was about 6 feet. It's about 6 feet tall by 6 feet wide. And it took me about a year to complete. It was really challenging. You know, I learned how to, you know, stick with things and how to focus. And after a year, you know, I managed to finish it. Hanging up on my wall. I look at it every day. I still can't believe I did it.
It's been said that a fanatic redoubles his efforts while losing sight of his goals. What are some telltale signs that a project is past its prime? And at what point do you get the hint that maybe you've spent too much time on one particular project and it's time for you to either step back, put it away, or just scrap it altogether?
I think when it gets to the point, because you're not expressing that idea that you had in the first place, you might be overworking it because, you know, you might try to make it look super realistic, but it might not require it. There's a point where a piece of painting, for example, says everything that it needs to. Everything else is just you being picky about it and trying to make it look better than what it should. But as long as it says what it has to say, it could be an hour, it could be 5 hours, it could be a year. When somebody understands the message, that's when you should stop.
What project are you working on this moment that you would like people to know about?
do another master study just to prepare for the next one. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet for like my apprenticeship, like the final project. But right now I'm just, you know, training and stuff like that. But it's nothing in particular to think about.
What are your thoughts on collaboration? Do you feel it necessary to your art form?
I do. I feel like, you know, you can learn anything from anybody, even if it's what not to do. So when you collaborate with other people, you know, you're definitely going to learn from each other. You know, whether it's tattooing or painting, you know, it's too good to bring like two mindsets and two different worlds into one to see what comes out of it. I don't do it too much, but I've done it a few times.
With that being said, do you consider imitation to be a form of flattery?
I think so. But then again, not only a form of flattery, but a form of training, because we learn through imitation. Like, there's nothing in this world that we haven't imitated somebody else to do. It's just the fastest, more convenient way to learn.
And then with that being said, what is the biggest competitive aspect of your art form?
A lot of people kind of do the same style, and like portraiture and realism. Yeah, there's a lot of competition. A lot of people do it really well. Because of tattooing, even though there's a lot of artistic effort behind it, it's also a lot about copying an image. So a lot of people that can copy your photograph can do a great tattoo. So you're always looking to be the artist that goes beyond that. You want to know why you're tattooing something, not just how you're tattooing it.
Okay. You said that a person that can copy from a photo can make a great tattoo, but let's say someone who is great at drawing, could they just walk into a tattoo parlor and say, well, have a seat right here, I'm going to give you a tattoo right now?
That's definitely never going to happen, because people just, it's the same elements. All the elements apply to all the arts, right? But when it comes to tattooing, it's just a new tool that you have to learn. You know, you have a heavier tool that's constantly vibrating in your hand. And you're literally using needles to, you know, mark somebody's skin up, and you're trying to make it look like a drawing. You can't make a mistake because it's on skin already. But no, it's not. You need to learn how to use the tool first. But once you get used to the tool, if you apply the same elements that you know from another medium, you'll be able to do it.
So, in other words, someone's bare skin is not a blank sheet of paper that you can just crumple up and toss over your shoulder and try again.
Yeah, definitely not. And if they do end up erasing it, it's going to cost them a lot of money.
So basically, this is kind of like you got to hit the bullseye on the first try kind of deal.
Yeah, well, you're responsible for messing up somebody's skin for life.
There's no pressure or anything, right? What are your top three distractions?
I think I only have two major ones. My first one is video games. The second one is wanting to do everything else. You know, I try to be like a jack of all trades, but still be a master of painting. But sometimes I feel like I just need to do everything there is to do. So I want to do, you know, drawing, painting, sculpting, digital, tattooing. And sometimes I get so overwhelmed that I end up doing nothing. You know? So it's like, I guess my biggest distraction is actually the lack of focus, focusing in on one project at a time instead of 20 at a time, which happens to everybody, but I think I'm, you know, particularly bad at it.
Just as a side note, what are some video games that you're currently locked in on right now?
I've been playing Skyrim, The Elder Scrolls Skyrim, since 2011, and I'm never going to stop playing that game. Destiny 2 came out, and I'll go back later, and I'm going to be, you know, stuck on that for a while, too. And Final Fantasy 15, yeah. I try to get away from them every once in a while.
But they keep calling you back.
Yep.
I am of the sincerest belief that my grandkids are going to be playing Final Fantasy 75,
yep.
Final Fantasy 250, Final Fantasy 325 will be out at that time or something like that. I don't know.
Exactly.
What are your top three energy boosters?
Caffeine. That's my number one. Number two is, I mean, I go to the gym sometimes, and that gives me a lot of energy. But then waking up early, it gives me a bit of energy for a few hours, you know, and then the caffeine comes in.
If money, personnel, equipment, and location were no object, describe for us your dream project.
I think I would like to do a mural. I would like to paint like a 16 chapel type mural, just for the heck of it. Might sound like a cliche, but I think I'll try to get my cousin to come. My favorite artist, Alex Ross, comic book master.
the comic book master, Alex Ross. Yes, sir.
But yeah, I think for my contemporaries, that's pretty much it. And the location, honestly, you know, I would like to do it in my country, DR. I would like to do something that, something that can say something and inspire some people.
What advice do you recommend to someone who is just getting started?
Be patient. Try not to rush it. If you rush it and you don't do it right, you're only going to regret it. And then you're going to end up going back to the beginning to do it right all over again. So just take your time and, you know, just make sure you do something every day. Just draw every day and just keep going. Art is a lifelong journey. No matter how much you try to rush it, it's never going to come until you die.
And finally, where can people find your work or connect with you?
You can find my work through my website at camiartist.com, or you can find me on Facebook, camiartist, Instagram, camiartist all over the place.
Ivan, once again, it was great hanging out with a fellow artist.
I appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, man. Once again, this was Lord Bison.